Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location once again where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound and offering both hope and help for men. We talk primarily to men because that's who we are and that's what we do. We give away freely what God has given us, and it's encouragement, it's laughter, it's the real deal, and we talk about issues that you won't necessarily hear about on or from the pulpit. So we thank you for being here. We have a verse that we actually in a ministry that we stand by or stand with or believe in, Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And today, we have a topic today that if you're listening to this stream live, you're going to go, oh, okay, this might be good. If you're listening to this because you chose it as a podcast, you already know what the topic is all about. It's about how to deal with an unhappy marriage. And so in the studio with me today, this is a guy who's always unhappy. And I could never get him to smile ever. And he's like Beaker from, what was the name of that puppet show?
The Muppets.
The Muppets, yeah. See, look at you. Yeah. It sounds like he's not smiling.
Hi.
Hi. this is Mib. Mib is in the house with me today, the man in brown. Yes, the UPS driver, the smiling man. He's always smiling. Even when he's angry, he's smiling. You know, he's gritting his teeth. So anyway, good to have you, bro.
Oh, thanks. It's good to be here this morning.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad that it is good for you to be here this morning. And we got the topic that how to deal with an unhappy marriage.
Mm-hmm.
There's some guys out there that are having some challenges and some that have already, some of it's behind them in a sense. And then again, it's anyway. So we're going to talk about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
See where it goes.
We'll see where it goes, absolutely.
And Holy Spirit knows, and that's the one that we usually follow with.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Yes. So, encouragement. Do you have a little bit of encouragement for the guy?
A little bit of encouragement.
Okay.
A lot of times when we go to read the Old Testament, we are discouraged, right? Because it's, it's a big book, a lot of stuff we don't understand, and we start to think, oh, you know, I want to get back to the New Testament because, the New Testament talks about Jesus. And, you know, okay, that's good stuff. Let's get to the New Testament, right? Well, here's the thing is the Old Testament talks about Jesus.
Amen.
Now, Jesus says he was rebuking the Pharisees, and he says, you search the Scriptures. When he says Scriptures, right. He means the Old Testament. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But those Scriptures talk about me. Jesus himself says that the Old Testament is about him.
Yes.
So instead of being discouraged when we go to the Old Testament, not understanding it, just go with the mind of where is Jesus in the Old Testament?
Mm-hmm.
Because, man, it could just really open things up. And this morning I was reading a devotional by Charles Spurgeon, and he was talking about in Exodus 24 when it says that the altar must be made without any tool marks on it, that you cannot change the stone altar. It must remain unchanged. And, you know, and we read that and we don't really think much of it until we think about Jesus.
Yes.
Because Jesus is the rock he's called in the rock of our salvation. He is the unchanging one. And when we look at this stone altar, how, you know, it was not to have any sort of chisel marks. You know, if Jesus is the rock, okay, and he's also perfection. If we were to go and to try and change Jesus according to how we want him to be, to chisel away at the stone, we would all of a sudden have an imperfect Jesus who would be an imperfect sacrifice who could not take away the sin of the world.
Because he was made by us. Imperfect people.
That's right. But what we have is we have the perfect, unchanging Jesus, just Amen. Like the altar from as Moses was commanded to build it in Exodus, yes. is yes. unchanging, untouched by human tools, and
yep.
and you know he's that way for a reason. So Jesus is all throughout the Old Testament. All the scriptures point towards him, whether it's pointing forward
That's
towards
right.
him or leading us, you know, back yes. to the cross.
Yes. Yes,
so don't be discouraged. It's all Jesus.
Prophetic in the Old Testament. New Testament is where he arrives, and then he's here with us. And you know what? We read the Bible, it's him speaking to us, okay? It's him speaking to us. And that's where we have to be willing to say, okay, this is the same God that actually split the sea so that people can go through dry land, okay? And then close it all up afterwards. This is the same God that we pray to today. And yep. I don't know, but when I think about things like that, I think I don't have any problems at all. I mean, seriously.
You don't have all of Egypt trying to track you, and kill
yes.
you yeah. up against the Red Sea? Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, so good encouragement. Good encouragement. It's all about Jesus. It just
it's all about
is.
Him.
Yeah. It's a good stuff. So anyway. Let's talk about this topic, because these guys want to hear about that.
Yeah.
And how to deal with an unhappy marriage?
How to deal with an unhappy marriage. I was talking to a fellow last week, and he was he's going through a divorce, and he was saying that things just weren't happy in the yes. marriage. And, and it got me to thinking, and I don't know the whole story. You know, there's mm-hmm. generally there's more to the story than
generally,
things just weren't happy.
There's always more to the story. There's always more to the story. Yes,
and a lot of times we'll say that because we don't want people to really know about the things that are really going on. You know, we'll say, "Oh, we just weren't happy together. Oh, we're growing apart." When in actuality, there may be some other things that happened that were much more profound than just simply growing apart.
Yes,
but. We have in our society this idea that being unhappy in a marriage is grounds for divorce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says that if you marry anybody except for if you divorce anybody except for sexual immorality, then you commit adultery.
Right.
It's just what it is,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not here to make anybody feel bad about, divorces that they've gone through. You know,
right.
the egg has been scrambled. We're not here to unscramble the egg. You know, I'm saying, let's lean on the arms of grace mm-hmm. and move forward,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to do is I want to talk to the guys today who are currently in the situation where, hey, you know what? I'm just not feeling happy and things aren't the way that they were when we got married, 20 plus 30 or even 2 years ago.
Yes.
And
Or
2 weeks ago. Oh, I met a couple last week that had been married for 2 weeks. They were so cute. But anyways.
Just like you and Stephanie were at one time. So cute. Somebody said the same thing about you guys.
They probably did. Look at them.
So
just
so
wait.
Yeah. Oh. Does Stephanie listen to the show sometimes?
Oh, I hope not. No.
Yes,
no,
I know.
She has on occasion.
Yes. All right. So anyway, so some of the things that you had shared here, what you had opening this thing up, in today's generations, and I mean the ones that are getting married, those are sometimes, now it seems like sometimes the marriages are taking longer in their lives to actually make that commitment. And what has been almost a norm, in a sense, where people actually live together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We did when I was at that, but now it seems to be just a normal thing to do that, okay, before getting married. And which, now, there's two ways of dealing with this. One is that we're talking to people who are believers and are saying, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and those who are not, okay? And those who are not, you're going to do what you want to do. And if you would like to do what we're doing here, well, a big part of it, more understanding, more acceptance of what's going on, is having this relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to that place of letting him be not only the Savior of your life, okay, but the Lord of your life, meaning he's going to manage your life. You're going to go to him with everything, and you're going to take time to listen to him instead of making quick decisions. And in doing so, all of a sudden, your life will change. Now, so we're talking to, and I'll just say, brothers who are professed Christians, okay? I don't like to use the word Christian necessarily because it doesn't mean anything sometimes. But those who are following him.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
right there gives us two different types of groups, right?
Right. Well, the group that's outside of the church, you know, Paul says, who are we to pass judgment on them? You know, because,
right.
you know, but Paul says that to pass judgment on those inside of the church, that's, you know, that's our responsibility because we are to encourage one another. We are to admonish one another, and as Galatians 6:2 says, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, we're supposed to be lifting each other up in these sort of things. So yeah, when we talk to the guys today, you know, yeah, we're addressing the guys who are, you know, Christians or, you know, professing Christians or seeking to know more about Christ and see if, you know, like maybe this is the way that I would want to go, see if this is something that I can believe in.
Yes. You know? Well, one of the things that I love as we get into this right now is the simple fact that we have the perfect example of the perfect marriage or what is actually desired by God, by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He recognizes us, the church, as his bride. Right?
That's right.
And that would make him the groom. Now, I want to tell you right off the bat, the first time I heard that sort of thing, I went directly to a...
I ain't nobody's bride.
So true. So true. I just thought, there's no way that I'm going to be, you know, this is... And I went to a sexual type of example, you know, of thinking that, no, but that's not what he's talking about. See, our God is the God of the heart. The language he speaks to us is the language of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's about love, okay? Not sex. Sex is actually an icing that goes on the cake of love, okay? And so what it comes down to is that how he feels about his bride, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what he actually expects of his bride, okay? And what he's going to do for his bride. All right. So with that, when we get into the New Testament, we hear everything that's taking place. We read and go on. We sit there and go, wow, man, he really loves us. I mean, I would have thrown me out. Some guys have felt like that before. I shared it last night at the Bible study. You know, I didn't think I was going to see the age of 30. I wanted to be done with my life. I had thrown it away. I made it. It was terrible. Okay? And there was no hope as far as I was concerned. So I just needed to exit out. And I attempted that. And I'm not alone with that.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many. But get this. There's a God in my life, same one that you know, that goes beyond that. And when I ask for forgiveness and it's heartfelt and willing to turn away from that sort of thing, all of a sudden my life changed. And it changed for the better. It didn't make it easier, but it certainly made it better because what ended up taking place was nothing that I could even fathom. And that's part of what a relationship with Jesus Christ will do for each and every one of us that seek him.
That's right. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, while as being Christians, you know, sometimes we think that when we come to Christ, everything's going to be all hunky-dory and I'm not going to have any problems anymore. But, you know, that's not the case. because in this world we will have trouble. But the good news is that we have Jesus to walk through it with us. And we have his precepts, his guidance, his ordinance, all his rules, so to speak. And when we live by these, there are blessings within them.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that everything is going to go well. And, you know, and we see that even in our marriages.
Yep.
You know, because what do we got when we got a marriage? We got a sinful guy and we got a sinful woman living in a covenant relationship that's supposed to look like the perfect union of the bridegroom Jesus to his bride, the church.
Exactly.
But it doesn't because we're sinful.
Yes.
You know, and when you get two sinful people living under the same roof, you know, I'll tell you, all that you need for strife is two people in time.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so true. But really what it comes, I shouldn't say what it comes down to, is that simply that we need to not use that as a reason to justify our behavior or our sins. Okay, because sometimes we, as men, we will take that and say, okay, I'm not perfect, and I'm going to show you that I'm not perfect. You know? No, that's an intent. You know, there's something about we fall into sin out of, you know, a quick temptation, something that comes up, versus a sin that we are intending on doing, that we actually look forward to doing, okay? That is the one that needs to go away. That's the one we need to turn away from and repent from. Are we ever going to be tempted about that again after we have repented? Absolutely. And the heat's going to be turned up even more on that. The temptation could become even stronger. But what what ends up taking place is that we realize how little strength that we have to be able to deal with this ourselves. Have any of us, maybe no one else but me, has ever said this, I can't handle this anymore. I can't do it. I just give up. And then you fall into it and stay in that sin.
Well, yeah. Yep, absolutely. Sometimes, you know, especially when we're leaning on our own arm for strength, you know, we're definitely going to fail. You know, but God allows us to go through things so that we learn to rely on him.
Yes.
You know, the Bible doesn't say that... the Bible doesn't say that we're not going to have anything more than we can handle.
Yes.
We will. Yes. And he does that so that we will learn to live, to seek him.
Yes. Yes.
You know, to say, okay, God, you know what? I can't handle this. I need your help with this. I need you, Jesus.
So let me ask you this. When it comes to what we're doing here and everything that actually is what we plan on doing through this show is giving you some ideas of how to deal with certain circumstances in our relationships with our wives, okay? And I believe that's sort of the idea that you had. I haven't read your notes or what it is where you wanted to go with that sort of thing.
I got some scriptures written down. That's about it. So God's going to take this wherever he wants it to go.
But I think a big part of it is that, first and foremost, is to realize that I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I have a lot of desires of how I want this relationship to go and expectations that I have on my wife to be the woman that I want her to be, okay? And, you know, with my own desires and my expectations, that is just a setup for failure, complete failure.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how's that going for you?
Well, I can tell you from past experiences what that has been like. I have a few marriages under my belt as a result of that, okay? So I'm not speaking just out of my,
from the current situation, but from past experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's not what I was thinking, but that was good. I like that. Okay. But anyway, so as a result of that, okay, knowing what needs to take place today is something that Debbie and I, we actually share with other couples, okay, to be able to realize and see what it is that needs to take place in our lives. Now, one of the main problems in a marriage, if you're listening to this and everything, if you're able to, if there's a mirror nearby, you want to just look in that mirror as we're talking to you. Because when you look in that mirror, that is what you need to be focused on right there. That is the problem. Okay. The problem is me. my expectations, my desires, my dreams, my, you know, whatever it is, okay?
Yeah.
It's all mine.
That's not to say that there aren't two people messing up in this relationship.
Oh, that by
but
any means. But
if I go at it trying to fix the other person
first, then I'm in trouble, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's usually what happens. Because,
right.
See, I'm trying to let me off the hook. If she only did this, if you only knew what she was like, if you only had to put up with the things I had to put up with, if you only realized that I haven't had sex in 2 days and I'm about ready to die, you know, serious? That's what I want to say. Brother, the thing is, I need to take a look at myself. I need to take a look at my own heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the conviction here, okay? Because if I've got things that are taking place in my life, starting off with darkness or sin, okay, that's in intentional sin again, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not that all of a sudden I looked at a woman too long as she's, you know, hiking or running down the street, you know, and I lusted over that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You can say, oh, Lord, forgive me, and then go on from there, all right? My point being is that if I've got sin in my life, that's something I need to get rid of as soon as possible. That has an effect on everything that takes place.
Yeah, it's like a cancer.
It's especially, and with men, primarily those intentional sins have to do with sex, okay? Has to do with lust. It has to do with masturbation. It has to do with, you know, whatever it is that I need to be fulfilled and to feel, you know, gratified in a sense, okay? Or pleasure, all right? And that, when I feel, it's kind of like, hey, when I get this, I'll feel better. I'll feel much better. And amazing what takes place as a result of a 10-second pleasurable moment, right?
Well, yeah.
Nothing happens afterwards.
It lasts for about 10 seconds.
it goes from there. All of a sudden, it's like, oh. Anyway. So let's do this. Let's take a break, and let's come back, and let's chat with these guys, talk to them a little bit more about maybe some specific areas of what areas of marriage that would create unhappiness for the man, the husband. All right?
All right.
And
we'll go there.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Are you having a problem getting reliable internet service at your home or business? Are you disappointed with the company currently providing your internet connection? Maybe it's time that you check out an alternative company that's attracting a growing number of customers. StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. And StarTouch has now expanded into Oregon as well. Learn how to contact them for a free quote by clicking on the StarTouch logo on the sponsor page of faithplace.org. StarTouch Broadband Services.
StarTouch Broadband Services.
You're changing my heart to want what you want, to love how you love, and that is enough. There's no greater plan that I need to know. You only ask me to follow and want what you want, you want, and want what you want, you want, and want what you want, you want, and want what you want, you want. Oh, let's feed on in this.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Eric and Raul in the studio. I got to tell them. we were sitting here talking. I said, okay, so this is kind of where I think we could go. And then I asked him, he said, well, you know, we could just send, you know, they made a movie about this. He said, it's called Fireproof. We just tell them to go watch the movie and we'll just shut off the radio. But there is that movie that's called Fireproof. And I tell you what, it is, there's not a man around that can't relate with this movie to a certain degree, especially those who are believers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you sit there and you watch this and you go, oh yes. And I got to tell you, that movie itself is a miracle of its own, to be able to get through to so many men that it has in the past, as a result of watching it. you can actually avoid areas that your marriage is going into as a result of being watching this and seeing what somebody else has gone through. It's really no different than speaking with someone else, talking with someone who's been down that road before. Whether you can call them a friend or a mentor or a sponsor or, you know, whatever. And but it's someone that you trust and someone that you're willing to share your life honestly with, okay, and ask them what they believe, you know. And I'd like to think that the majority of those mentors or people that you would seek, that they are praying. If they're not praying a lot, brother, when they're talking with you, at least at the start and the end of it, at least that, you might need to go look for someone else, possibly. You don't need someone to give you advice on how to do things. What you want is someone who says, you know what, I'll share with you my experiences, but truly, you need to seek the Lord in doing that, and he'll reveal it to you. Because if our relationship with Jesus isn't growing through all of our challenges in our life, that's the whole reason he, like you said earlier, this is why he allows this stuff to take place. Could he stop it? Absolutely he could.
Yeah.
But he wants us to learn to really get this so that we can pass it on to those that are that we influence in our lives.
Yeah. And not only that, if coming to Christ meant that there was not going to be any more trouble in your life, well, then people would be coming to Christ just to avoid trouble. They wouldn't have any love for the Savior himself. They would just love what the Savior has to offer him, you know. And that's that just isn't the way Jesus operates. You know, he wants us to come to him in love. This is, you know, it's because of the love of God that Jesus endured the cross for us so that we could be reconciled to each other. And reconciliation is really, really important in the economy of God, and that's why he tells us to be reconciled to each other. And, you know, a lot of times where that needs to start is right there in our marriages because, you know, right. we start to you know, get used to being around each other, you know, and that being used to being around each other, well, it might develop into, you know, not really having, you know, the conversations like you used to have.
Yep.
You know, I come home, I don't want to be bothered, I sit down and I turn on the television, put on ESPN, hey, honey, when's dinner? And, you know, dinner's over, go back to whatever, you know, and we start to fall into this, you know, complacency.
Yes.
Inside of our marriage, we lose this, you know, the communication.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so when, you know, it's like having a friendship, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that those friends that aren't really in our lives anymore, the first thing that broke down was our communication with them.
Yes.
You know, and as that communication broke down, the time that we spent together broke down, and we started drifting apart. It's because there wasn't anything, and there wasn't any effort put into maintaining the friendship.
Yes. You know, you hit key on something, and that is, of course, the communication part, okay? When there's a breakdown in communication, everything kind of just goes a different direction or doesn't move at all. You want neutrality. You get it at the start of when there's no communication, but then it digresses from there. It really, truly does. Jesus talks about it in the book of Revelation in chapter 2. Through John, the Apostle John, Jesus saying in verse 4, said, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love," period. Okay? And then he goes on to remind us of certain things of, you know, that has happened in our lives as a result of knowing him. And he's talking about his relationship with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If your relationship with Jesus is good and it's stable and it feels secure, your other relationships are going to feel the same way. Truly.
Well, yeah, because we'll have the heart of Christ in those relationships.
Exactly. It will be in his word because that's what he commands us to do. He says, come to know me, seek me with everything that you have. As a result of that, we're going to be seeking the Lord. But as a result of that, we're going to be seeing, he's going to reveal to us. This is the revelation that he reveals to us where we're at as a result of getting it. How many times have we ever looked into the Word of God and sat there and said, oh, my gosh, You mean I'm supposed to do what James tells me to do? Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Oh my gosh, how am I supposed to be joyful when that takes place? Don't you realize that I could be losing my job or I could be whatever it is, you know? No, there's a reason why he says that. What's that reason? Well, there's no shortcut. You're going to have to search it out and search it out with other brothers and find out, and the Lord will speak to you. But what I wanted to say is that he says it right here, that you have forgotten your first love. Your wife, you courted her. That's an old word, okay? Mm-hmm. You dated her. You wanted her to be your wife. You said, I like her, you know? It might have been a physical attraction at first, but then when you start to communicate, you actually speak and listen. You start mm-hmm. to get to know this person a little bit, and you go, I really, really like her. And you may not want to use that word love. You may think that that's, you know, what it is that you're feeling. Maybe it is. But those are the things that the Lord wants us to always remember. Even like the very first time you accepted him as your Savior and Lord. You remember that moment?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that period of time? That was like, oh, I found it. I think I found it. And I want to get on my soapbox and tell everybody that I know what I have found. This is for you, okay? Anyway, that's the same type of excitement that we had when we met our wives, okay? Something similar. And that's what we have forgotten, okay? And when we can get back there, so that means, yeah, that means that, man, oh, man, whether you've been married 2 weeks or 2 years or 20 years, these are the things that we need to get back to. This is the woman that I wanted to have a family with. This is the woman I wanted to bear my children. This is the woman I wanted to be my helpmate. This is the woman I wanted to cherish and love and bring her flowers and find out what her love language is so I can make her happy, because that's what God wants me to do. He wants me to love my wife as he loves the church. Oh, we're back to that bride and groom thing again.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Right. And we fall away from this courting. It's because we fall into complacency. We fall away from courting. Now I can't say that I understand the mind of women. If I did, I'd probably make a whole lot more money than I do right now.
And you'd have an awful lot of people upset with you.
And I'd have an awful lot of people saying, Eric, help, Eric, help, Eric, help. But I would say this, that I believe that women, they want to continue to be courted all through the marriage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, they're from Venus. They're from a different planet. We are from Mars. We just want to work and do this and get that and do that, and that's it. But, you know, God has another plan. Hey, man, if she's from Venus, you need to communicate with her. So that means you need to learn a different language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what we've learned, the language that we speak is sort of a start line, finish line type of language, right? So a guy gets married and it's like, yes, I've hit the finish line. I can put my feet up and relax. And
yes,
the woman
yes.
is like, yes, I've reached the start line.
Exactly.
We can really get into this marriage and get to know each other. And so, you know, that can create some real issues within the marriage, you know. And it really is something, you know, marriage is not something that you just fall into and just relax in. It's something that we work on constantly mm-hmm. in order to you know, for the marriage to continue to grow and develop and become stronger.
Yes.
And you know, I'll tell you, one of the things you know, my wife and I, we found ourselves in a place a while back where, you know, basically she was happy, but I was feeling unhappy, right? And so I was seeking other pleasures through, you know, internet pornography and things like mm-hmm. that, you know, and if I say that she was happy, you know, only, you know, I can't say, I can't really speak to her heart as being happy, you know, but I'll tell you what this did is this terrible thing that we went through.
Yes.
You know, God used it for his glory, because I realized my sinfulness, you know, she realized that that my heart truly is for her, and I'm willing to make sacrifices for her. And through that, I one of the things that came out is that I wasn't really investing in my wife. Mm-hmm. I wasn't putting any time into building our relationship. So that's something that we put back into the relationship. And every Saturday, you know, we go out on a date. And you might think, you know, like, oh, that's expensive. I don't want to put that sort of time in. But you know what? We need to be doing that, because if we're falling out of it, and really the idea of a date is, well, you know what? You wind up having to communicate when you're out on a date. You wind up talking to each other.
Yes.
Sometimes there is talking. Sometimes it's just so simple as just being quiet around each other and enjoying each other's company in the quiet. You know, I can't say exactly what the dynamic of your marriage is and how it is that you express love to one another.
Yes.
But I'll tell you, the women in our lives, they want to be invested in. They don't want the courtship to be over.
And so often we end up in situations where we feel like we can't go there because I'm so busy now at my work. I've got, you know, we've got kids now, and I'm, you know.
Or why would I? Because she's not investing anything in me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we start looking at other people, places, things. Same thing that we did before Jesus came into our lives. We looked at other people, our circumstances. If this was different, if I had different parents, if I lived in a different neighborhood, grew up in a different school than that one that I was in, if only, if only, if only. You know, it's all about me. See, when it stops becoming about me, things start to change. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Mib and Raul in the studio. I love reading some of these things where it talks about in the New Testament about wives and husbands and how we're to be able to do things. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." We should actually have that memorized as husbands. That should be part of the covenant of marriage, the marriage ceremony. The guy should actually have that memorized and say that aloud to everybody, especially to his wife, so that he can remember it, okay? Because we have a tendency of forgetting it.
Yeah.
Sometimes not even sure where it's at. Unless you look it up in Google or something and say, "Oh, where is this?" You know, in the Bible. But they are our helpmate. They're heirs, just like we are, to the kingdom.
You know? Equal at the foot of the cross.
That's right. And the simple fact is that the Lord allowed you two to come together for a purpose and a reason. And I believe it's so that his expansion of his kingdom would take place.
Yeah, and it's also for the glory of God.
Amen.
Because the marriage covenant is a picture of the marriage covenant of, like we said earlier, the church to the groom, Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, so the marriage is intended to bring glory to God.
Yes.
You know, I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 25. It says,
not that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going there. I know. Sometimes the Bible says things that we don't want to hear. So yes. I'm going to tell them anyways.
There you go.
Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Oh, see, there we go. We're back to the Christ and the church again.
Yep.
That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church.
Yes, yes. So all the more reason, and I got to tell you, you had mentioned it earlier, we've all had challenges. There's not too many men that haven't had challenges with lust, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that lust will actually go into a deal with, and I say, I'm calling it a deal because some guys said, "What? You can't say that it's an addiction, you know? You can't say that I'm addicted to pornography." Okay, I won't. I'll say it's a deal, okay? Yeah, that's between you and God.
I'll tell you, addiction is just another word for sin, okay?
Yes, yeah. Plain and simple.
Plain and simple. So if I use the word addiction, it means that we're in a sinful place.
Well, this place of pornography where it's like no harm, no foul. I mean, you know, I'm not harming the marriage. I'm not taking care of that. You know, I'm actually just providing because my wife is not feeling good or, you know, whatever it is, and she just doesn't satisfy me and completely the way that I would like, and we've just come to an agreement and said, okay, that's just the way it is, and you just go from there. So what happens at that point in time is that when you decide to go toward the sin is that your relationship with your wife begins to diminish.
Yeah,
and let me
does.
Tell you what ends up happening, and we're just going to be right up front with it. Masturbation is a big part of pornography.
Yeah,
and you know how to make yourself get to that feeling so that you would have an orgasm and everything. And even watching certain things, and we're not even talking about going and having an affair with a human being. You're having one with yourself. You're making love to yourself. You're touching yourself a certain way. And then when your wife, when you end up, she comes together with you, she can't satisfy you because she's not doing it the way that you would like it done.
Right. And we go back to the expectations that you were talking about at the
beginning
of the show.
Exactly. And then you set yourself up for disappointment. And she's sitting there and you sit there and you go, man, I can't even get aroused. I can't do this. Would you mind doing that? No, I'm not comfortable with that. And then you honor that and you just don't go there. Before you know it, you're out of the bed. You're out of the mood. It's not even she's out of the mood. And before you know it, you're sleeping in two different rooms.
Yeah. And this sin that we fall into, it draws us away from communion with Christ. It draws us away from that that relationship with Christ, right?
Amen.
It draws us away from our own wives because, our expectations become something other than our own wife.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And then the wife's heart falls away from her husband because she sees these other things that are going on.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's this threefold falling apart within the marriage when we seek this, when we seek to go after this sin. And you may say that it's no big deal. It is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I will not diminish it and say that sin is not a big deal because it is. It's the reason that Jesus took the nails on the cross. Remember, it says that husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. There we are. We're back to the cross, right? That's the ultimate love, and it's a self-sacrificing love. You know, when we go into this marriage and we say, you know, I'm going to make this about her, about, you know, meeting her needs, then what we're going to have is we're going to have a marriage that's based on a healthy relationship. But if I go in and I say, hey, this is great, I got somebody to meet my needs, you know, that's exactly the opposite of what it is that we're called to do within the marriage. And we're going to start to be unhappy in that situation. And really, the only thing that I can change within a marriage is me, okay?
Right.
And that change needs to be one where my heart is for my spouse and meeting her needs.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, there are a lot more needs that a woman has other than having some food on the table and a roof over her head. While, you know, these are important things, you know, this wife of ours, she has emotional needs that need to be met.
And I'm not trying to cut you off because we're getting close to the end of the show here. But here's the deal. We don't want to just give you information. This is what you do. This is how you need to do it and so on and so forth. But or, you know, what it is that God's word is, because most of us will end up not doing anything more. But it does begin with your communication changing with your wife and an honest communication. Okay. A disclosing, in a sense. You've got to be willing to risk that, brother, because, I mean, everything lies is in waiting for you, because you are the spiritual head of the family. So take that responsibility. You may not know the prayers like your you may not pray like your wife. You may not do all of the things that she does, reading the Bible to the kids or even reading the Bible herself or praying together. These are the things that need to take place, your communication with her. But let me tell you something. Bring Jesus into that communication at the start. Ask him to be with you and her out loud. Acknowledge him in you. Where two or more are gathered in his name, he is present. And you bring Jesus into the middle of this, more will be revealed to both of you.
Yes, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Amen. Amen and amen. I tell you, this is a topic, we just scratched the surface.
We really did, because I got some things written down we didn't even talk about.
Yes. Well, you know, we can talk about marriages all day long, but here's the thing. Seek God first. Make your relationship with him right. You'll see what happens. It will change your relationship with her. Would you pray for our brothers?
Our Heavenly Father, we just praise you for Jesus, who loves us to so much, Father, that he would die for us, Father, and that is how you have instructed us to love our wives. Give us that heart, I ask, in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. There is hope, and you are not alone.